Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Baby, I come on too strong. You got your opinions and the right to say I'm wrong. That's the way I am. What you see is what you get. I'm a free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck. I don't hate nobody. Don't mean to stir things up. I don't use the right words. I ain't sensitive enough. It's gotten too damn easy to step on people's toes. You sugarcoat the truth or get sued before you know. No matter what I say, somebody gets upset with this free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck. Well, I'm sorry I'm so backward, so crude, so second class. Help me out and tell me, what's the PC way to say, kiss my ass? I wonder who these people are that sit around all day, making up a list of words we can and cannot say. They got everybody thinking, this should be the law. I read the First Amendment, I know my rights, y'all. Well, call me civil-minded. Well, that's what you expect from this free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck. Oh, tell me, sir. No regret. I'm a free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck. I'm a free-thinking, beer-drinking, politically incorrect redneck.
That's right. You can tell them all they can kiss my grill. Go look that up in your PC dictionary. Wrong.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is the politically incorrect redneck Brilliant Ideas back again for another Saturday morning foodie show bonanza. Welcome to the show. Thank you, everybody, for joining in again each and every Saturday morning where we go into the realms of the foodie world. And we are going to go in deep into the realms of the foodie world today. We've got great guests joining us. Our first guest this morning will be the one and only Retro Rad Chef, Miss Emily Ellen. She'll be joining us here shortly. And then what do we got here? The next, we got Brian Fairchild, which is, we call him our wine czar, will be joining us after Emily and coming on to talk about wine and also about the story we talked about last week, the fake wine that's being sold out there in the auctions and all the hoopla about that. And then last but not least, we have the produce guy. Well, actually, he's called Your Produce Man. Will be joining us, Michael Marks. And so we've got a bang-up show scheduled this morning. I'm going to bring on our Jersey-style food news girl, Laurie, this morning from New Jersey. Good morning, Laurie. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you?
Oh, fantastic. Everything's going great so far. The Blog Talk radio system is working. Music
Yay.
Is playing. And we've got
Yay.
Emily Ellen calling in, too.
Yay.
So, hey, the day can't get any better than this, right?
No, not when you have Emily Ellen coming on. She's adorable.
Yes, she is. And I'm going to bring on Emily here. We're going to press the button like this, and then hopefully everything's going right. We should have the Retro Rad Chef herself. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Brilliant. Good morning, Lori. How are you?
Good morning, cutie. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, fabulous. We have a brisket grilling and the big green egg right now. How
really?
Rad is that? Yeah.
You know, I gotta come hang out with you in Florida. I'm gonna just throw in the towel here in California. I think I'm coming to Florida.
You do, and you're welcome to come. The party starts at 3, so get on that plane now.
So Emily, what are you doing? Can you announce your new little project now?
I cannot, actually.
Oh,
it's crazy. But funny enough, I made an appearance on The Simpsons.
You made an appearance on The Simpsons?
Someone just pointed it out to me. You guys have to look. I just posted on the Grilliant page. It's a picture of me photobombing The Simpsons with all these chefs.
No.
Unbelievable. I had to go over
But of course, I cannot confirm or deny anything that you are referring to about a Food Network appearance. So,
why are you on the show then?
I don't know. I photobombed The Simpsons, and now I'm radio bombing Grilliant Ideas.
Oh,
duh.
Okay.
I just want to join in on every party. Haven't you gotten that yet?
I've noticed you are everywhere. I mean, you're a busy girl with your movie and all the TV appearances and all the things you're doing. So give us an update about the movie. I saw that you guys are filming. How's that going so far?
It is going great. it was hilarious, actually. I made donuts on the show. So the movie, just for the listeners, the movie is called Fat, Dumb, and Happy. And you can follow along on Facebook the whole journey of the filming. But I make donuts on the Eating Channel, and my show is called What's Cooking Good Lookin'. And the main character of Fat, Dumb, and Happy is obsessed with my show. He's trying to find happiness, and he thinks that I can feed him happiness. So there are a lot of wide angle, slow motion video tape of me like coming at the camera with food, like slow motion feeding people donuts. So it is going to be a riot. And,
so it really is kind of like a food porn then, right?
There are definitely some food porn moments because Walter, the main character, is obsessed with me and what's cooking good looking. So, there's some tasty, sweet recipes coming you guys' way.
Well, interesting. So when is the actual filming they expect to be done? Do you have any clue at this point?
They're finishing up filming, and they will they'll be editing it and doing all that sound and what have you for the next couple months. But I think we'll be seeing it hopefully by the end of the year.
Well, good.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's plans to take it to all these film festivals. There's another film that Banks Helfrich, the visionary behind the movie, is taking to like Sundance and a couple other film festivals. So we'll see how the success of this one goes.
Well, it sounds very interesting. Fat, Dumb, and Happy sounds just like me, but we're looking forward to the movie. Now, so what else you got going on in Florida? I see you're recently on TV, and I think you were in Phoenix?
Yeah, I was in Phoenix. So for Easter, I got to I paired up with Fetzer Wine, and cool enough, they have this new line called Crimson and Quartz, and it's like the retro rad new face of Fetzer. So
Really? Being
the judge of that, I went and tasted it and fell in love, and they gave me a chop challenge, if you will, to cook with wine.
Okay.
I made some Easter recipes that were like smack your mama good. I made these Easter baskets. I made this crimson and quartz red blended compote that was divine. I'll post it up on the website. Moscato marmalade.
Did you say compost or compote?
Compost. Maybe I said compost, but it is a compost that, oh my gosh, it is so good. You like cook down a bottle of wine with fresh berries or frozen berries, whatever you have available, and then you spice it up with cloves and some more savory flavors like star anise. And it comes out so good. It would be great for Mother's Day as well to cook up some for Mother's Day.
Yes. Emily, do you have a business page that I could like?
I have Emily Ellen, the chef fan page. I should make a business page for Emily Ellen Productions, but Lord help us, there's enough to manage at this point. And I should tell you, I am going to be traveling around Georgia. Grillia, this is something that you'll want to join in on.
Okay.
I am going to pair up with the Georgia Beef Board and the Cattlemen's Association, and we are going to eat burgers in every big town in Georgia.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that so fun?
When are you going to do this?
In the next month. And we're going to do it in honor of June being Georgia's Beef Month.
You do know that I originally was known as the burger pimp, right?
Well, yeah, you mentioned that before. That's why I thought you would totally dig this.
Yeah, you should.
And I have a vision. Well, we can call in and keep you posted on all our burger finds.
But, you know what? Keep me posted on that because, you know, I do love my burgers.
Yeah, I know. And I was thinking, I woke up, when they called me and they said, are you interested? I'm like, the world round. Am I rad?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Like, burgers? I can eat burgers all day. So I fell asleep on the thought of the idea, and I woke up with this brilliant idea to have a picture of me with my horn-rimmed glasses. Can you picture it now? Big, long-horn, cat-eyed glasses. And I'm, like, eyeing these burgers and salivating, and I'm like, oh, I'm in.
Now, this is going to be done, you said, for the Cattlemen Association?
Yeah, Georgia Beef Board and the Georgia Cattlemen's Association are celebrating the month of June, which is Georgia Beef Month. And they kind of like were brainstorming and thought, oh, let's go around Georgia and eat all these burgers. Well, you know, they look to me as the expert burger eater. I don't know how I'm quite qualified other than I just eat and drink all day, but, you know, whatever. I'm taking it as totally great qualifications, and I'm there. I'm signing up. So,
are you going to be critiquing the burger or more or less just promoting?
Pardon me, Lori?
I'm sorry. Are you going to be critiquing the burgers while you're there, or just more or less promoting the places and the burgers?
No, we're going to be critiquing. We're going to, we're looking at, you know, the best of awards. You know, every town kind of has the best of awards. So we're going to go and actually check them out for ourselves.
Well, you know, if you need a sidekick, bodyguard, burger, napkin holder,
ooh,
whatever,
bodyguard.
You know, just all you got to do is call me.
Yes. Oh, yes. You are totally invited to the party. I think it's going to be great. I can make a year out of this. If June is the Georgia Beef Month, just think every state probably has a beef month.
Yes.
Brilliant. We could eat our way through the United States.
and by the time we were done, we would weigh 400 pounds. But what a brilliant idea.
But, you know, who's to say we don't walk to the next place? Maybe that's what we need to do.
That's true.
Yeah. So I'm doing that kind of stuff. I'm also baking with beer on the 17th at Le Creuset in Orlando, and then I'm going to be, for Mother's Day, baking with beer at Shipyard Brew Pub.
Okay.
And then I'm really planning this whole barbecuing extravaganza through the summer, and just barbecuing with beer.
Barbecue, I like that. That's very catchy.
You know, every time I talk to you, I love you more and more.
I know, right? You do. Really,
beer and barbecue with beef on the side. I mean, we don't get more rad than that.
so you can't announce the other Food Network thing, so we have to keep that on the hush-hush and secret scroll for a while. And
I know, but we should say if you start tuning into Food Network, you will see some commercials.
Yeah,
that
I've seen them.
You know, retro rad, cat eyed wearing glass chicky. So I'm just saying.
Well, I've seen the commercials, and it's like, duh.
I know, right? There's a couple of them too, and people keep pointing them out, and I'm like, oh, I can't deny that's me. I mean, come on, there I am, front and center. So, yeah.
Well,
soon enough.
Well, keep us posted on all your adventures, and let us know more about the burger. What you want to call it? The burger conquest there in
Georgia. This is what
Georgia.
Brilliant,
what?
Brilliant. This is what I'm calling it. This is a brilliant idea. Tour de bouffe.
Tour de what?
De bouffe, like tour de beef.
Oh.
Tour de bouffe.
Tour de bouffe.
Got it.
With me.
Yeah,
in my longhorn rimmed glasses.
Well, see, if you brought me along, it would be tour de bouffe.
Oh, yes, brilliant. Oh, God. I think your harem of brilliant girls is getting to you.
Yes, I think so, too.
Well,
thank you, Emily. Everybody check out EmilyEllen.com, and that's E-L-L-Y-N, by the way. And Emily, you should know how to spell Emily, but EmilyEllen.com. You can find out
about
Emily. You can also find her on Facebook, on her Facebook page. She's a busy lady. And you know what? I'm thinking real hard about this burger thing, so I'll call you later because you might have a sidekick if you want one. And we appreciate you joining us this morning. And unfortunately, you can't announce the other thing, but everybody go to Food Network and look at the commercials and hint, hint.
Yes, exactly, exactly. So I will keep you all posted. Thank you, Brilliant. Thank you, Lori.
Bye. Take care, guys.
Everybody check out Emily. She's a busy lady in the food business. And Laurie, we're going to take a short break. And let me see. Hold on here. I got to put everybody, put this on hold. I'm going to take a short break, just a real short one, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to do a real quick food news, and
then we will
bring on Brian to find a real quick food news story. This is going to be a real quick break, and everybody hang tight. We'll be right back. This is another one of my theme song. Like she said, the whole Gradient Girl thing is on to my head.
Brian's coming on to talk about wine. I thought I'd read this little tidbit. It was pretty interesting stuff here. It's called Did You Know? So here we go. Probably you would know this, but did you know there are more chickens in this world than people?
Yes, I knew that because I was in the chicken business for many, many years, and we used to kill millions and millions of chicken every day. So, yep, there's a ton of chickens out there. There's a lot of clucking going on.
Did you know 97% of water on Earth is undrinkable?
97%? Really? No, I didn't know that. I mean, I know you can't drink the ocean, which is like three-quarters of the Earth's surface, but 97%, wow. No, did not know that.
Did you know vanilla makes up almost one-third of the world's ice cream sales?
Yeah, I actually heard that I didn't know it was one-third, but I knew that vanilla was still the number one flavor, even with all the fancy flavors that are out there. Vanilla is still number one. That's cool.
Number one, yeah. Did you know the average American eats 120 apples a year?
That means they eat over two apples per week. No way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll eat an apple once in a blue moon, but maybe one or two a month. But that means, I just have a hard time believing that.
Well, I was wondering maybe because of apple pie. See, like if they eat apples in an apple pie, then I can...
very good, very
right?
good.
Right? Yeah. Because I thought that seems like a lot. Yeah, apple turn right.
Does apple juice count?
I guess, I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe.
Did you know butterflies taste with their feet?
No. I've tasted some of the food that I've made that tastes like feet, but no, I didn't know that.
This next one was very interesting to me. Did you know 70% of red meat eaten worldwide is goat meat?
Get out of here.
Yes, I know.
No
I was
kidding.
Shocked.
That is some bad information there. No kidding. I guess because that's over, I guess that is it. Goat is a big staple for, I guess, over in Asia and other areas of the world. But no, I didn't know that. We should eat more goat. By the way, have you had goat?
Yes.
like it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's really good if it's made right. I've had goat stew and some other things made. It could goat roast if you marinate it long enough and cook it the proper way. It can be kind of tough if you don't cook it the right way because it doesn't have a whole lot of fat in it. But yeah, it's pretty good.
Yep. Oh yeah. Did you know pineapple isn't a single fruit? It's a bunch of berries that are fused together.
No, I didn't know that. When you said pineapple is a single fruit, I thought, what is it, married? But really?
Yes. I couldn't believe it. This is a great website that I found.
Wait a minute. It's a bunch of berries that are fused together is a pineapple?
It's a bunch of berries that are fused together that make the pineapple.
Didn't know that.
And I actually should Google the berries. I didn't even think to do that. What are the berries that are? Yeah. And this one doesn't have to do with food, these other two, but I thought they were pretty fascinating to me. Did you know the average person will walk an equivalent of 4 times around the earth in their lifetime?
Wow.
How could that be? Right?
That's probably true. I probably walk at least 1 time around the earth just back and forth in the refrigerator. So, yeah, I could see that. 4 times around the earth during their lifetime. That's amazing.
Yes, I know.
And I have a hard time walking up to the mailbox. Now I really feel bad.
And I just walked 2 miles at the track this morning, so I got my little walk
good
in.
Good for you, Miss Bragger.
I don't think 2 miles is bragging. The older man walking with me walks 7 miles a day. So now that's bragging.
Oh, okay.
And the last one is, did you know, this is sweet, silent and listen use the exact same letters.
Silent
and listen.
Wow, you're right.
Right?
That's very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So let's be very, very quiet and bring on our next guest. Brian Fairchild, our wine czar, is joining us, and if I push this button, he should be calling in from somewhere. I don't know where he is. I think he's traveling in his car somewhere. He told me he'd call in from the road. Good morning, Brian, wine czar. Where are you, and how are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Superman.
Superman.
How are you?
I'm gonna
crash your lady party now.
I know. Well, I gotta have Eve and Steven here. We got our next guest is a man too. I've been told I have too many women on the show, so I need this, you know, be an equal opportunity radio show.
Yeah, I wonder who did that.
I don't know. I don't know who had anything to do with the planning of that.
Anyway, I am not driving as I originally said I was. I am home in the comfortable confines of my cave, my wine cave, though. We're calling it a wine cave. Yes. Now, too many things going on, so I didn't hit the road.
Well, we wanted to have you on because last week Laurie was talking about the fake wine and fake label episode and all the issues going on. Have you heard about that?
I've heard a lot about this, and let me tell you something. I would trust more what's in your big kahuna bottle than I would trust what I buy from an auction. I am a firm, you know, I am a strong, strong believer that I would never trust anything like a bottle of wine being sold at auction. The way I've always developed my own collection was through being able to walk into a wine shop, touch the bottle, see the bottle, know what the bottle is, you can have a million experts in the world tell you that this is authentic, this bottle is 400 years old, and Thomas Jefferson touched it, and blah blah blah, whatever. But I can't be sure. Now, there are a lot of things that, you know, you do need to know. And in fact, I spoke to Lori during the week, and she was telling me, and I did get to finally listen to last week's show, things like like knowing what the fill is in the bottle. Now, that little space in the top of the bottle where you know between the cork and the wine is what they call
right.
A eulage. I know it's a big word. Eulage. It's a big word, brilliant, but we'll work you through it. it's called eulage, and you know if the wine is not actually sitting somewhere close to the, you know, I would say maybe a half an inch to three quarters of an inch away from where the cork is, then you've got some oxidation, which means that air got in, the cork dried or whatever, air got in, oxidized the wine, and it's now evaporated.
Okay.
So if you see a big gap in a bottle, you know that wine, and even if you're going to if you're going to go shopping in your favorite wine shop or grocery or whatever, and you pick up a bottle and you see a huge gap between the cork and the where the line is on the wine, you don't want to buy it because most likely air got into that bottle, oxidized the wine. Now, with the case of your wine with screw caps, you know.
Well,
great.
I was just sitting here thinking. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm thinking, well, I don't have that issue because I got the screw top, so I don't have any eulage. I have a full bottle.
Yeah. But and actually, that is a strong point for the screw cap, or as they call it, the Stelvin enclosure.
Oh, okay.
And I have no problem with them. I have no problem at all. First of all, you don't have cork taint. You don't run the risk of oxidizing a bottle, although it could,
and you don't
it
want
could
cork
happen.
Taint. You don't want cork taint. Never.
No. But you know, getting back to the point of the auctions.
Yes.
This stuff. If I were rich enough to do that, I would rather get on a plane and travel somewhere and go hunt down wine, rather than spending all my money, you know, first hiring a broker to go to the auction, you know, a supposed wine expert and broker to go to the auction and bid on my behalf on a bottle that I've never even looked at. You know?
But do you realize how easy it would be? Because most of these guys will buy the wine and pay thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars for this supposed authentic wine. And more I thought about it, it's actually a simple process. If you can get the old label and make it look exactly the same, how are people going to know?
Well, exactly. I agree with you. You know, what are we going to do? We're going to stick a needle in the through the cork and get a DNA sample of the wine?
You can't.
You know, then you're spending as much to do the research as the bottle costs.
Right.
You know. So I've never been a fan of auctions. I personally managed to sustain my own wine collection through the fact that doing research and gaining knowledge about specific producers and the trends and what this stuff would be valued at a later date, I bought wine at a good price, like buying stock. At a good price,
right.
And I sold it at a better price.
Well, all week long, I've gone and looked at the expensive wine at Fresh and Sleazy, which that runs somewhere in the name. For me, expensive is somewhere between $15.99 and $19.99, and I've gone to Kinko's and made copies of the labels and stuck them on my big kahuna to impress my friends.
Well, if I were there, I'd be able to tell the difference, but, you know, that's just me.
You know what? We're going to do that, by the way. We're going to do a taste test with you. I'm going to put you – it just dawned on me. This is a great idea for the radio. Of course, people won't be able to see it, but I'm going to give you different wines, and I'm going to see if you can tell the difference.
Yeah, I mean, look, I spent a number of years in retail before I went into wholesale, and I've always prided myself on the fact that I could introduce my customer to something that's inexpensive but good. So doesn't necessarily mean that you're gonna, you know, you're gonna always tell the expensive bottle from the cheap bottle.
Right.
You know, because there's a lot of inexpensive wine out there that is really excellently produced. And you know, it's the kind of stuff I drink. I don't drink that expensive stuff that I posted on your wall all the time. That's left over from my days of collecting. And you know, I don't have that stuff anymore, or I don't, let's put it this way, I don't spend money on that stuff anymore, because being in the industry, I'm surrounded by wine. Why do I need to buy it?
Right.
You know,
what else is going on exciting in the wine czar world? Not to interrupt you, but I do anyway.
Well, of course you do. Nothing in particular, but I actually want to put a shout out to Emily, that she needs a wine czar, wine guru for this tour.
Yeah.
And
we'll probably get invited now.
We
yeah.
definitely can do burger and wine pairings.
There you go. There you go. I hope she's still, if she's still listening, that's a great idea. Yes,
yeah,
or brilliant idea. Yeah, I'm gonna be the guy who wipes your mouth off with the napkins. You bring the wine. Laurie, what are you gonna
do?
Yeah, what do you wanna do, Laurie?
Oh,
Laurie can just stand there and look beautiful.
There you
go. Oh, Brian.
Boy, brownie points.
Hey, I do want to. If I have a minute, I do want to get political for a second. Being in the wholesale business, you know, I rely a lot on my ability to promote my product,
right?
And that means going in and doing events and, you know, tastings and everything. And recently, we had some commotion happen in Virginia with the Virginia ABC board, which is our governing, you know, alcohol control board. And apparently a couple of the agents, who in my opinion are just kind of wannabe cops, they get their gun, they get their badge, went out and busted some events, citing a law that said that we as distributors cannot go in and talk about our product. And
well,
it's
why?
Just been, you know, it's been insane. Well, we don't know why. We really don't know why, but part of my stress the past week is part of the reason why I actually didn't drive up to New York, because I just, you know, I'm too tired. But,
yeah.
You know, I just want to see if anybody out there is in Virginia listening to the show, they should write their congressman and get these laws changed so that we can go out and do wine dinners and events in restaurants and continue to educate people on wine. Because
there's actually legislation going on right now. I just recently read something, because I get a wine newsletter, that there's legislation in Congress right now to allow a lot of the boutique wineries to do exactly what you're doing, because there's a lot of commotion going on about, you know, different areas, different states accepting certain wines in certain areas, and you can't go there, and et cetera, et cetera. So I think there is actually, I just read something recently, there is some type of legislation trying to change that law.
Well, I think that's more in regards to allowing the small wineries to do self-distribution within, you know, nationwide, rather than having a limit on where they can ship to. Because it used to be like Florida was very difficult to ship anything to Florida, and there were issues with Virginia and you know, a number of different states. But this is more a Virginia state law, where they cited code that said that we're not supposed to go in and do any kind of education. Well, I guess I'm going to do all my education on Brilliant Ideas Radio now. I won't be doing it in the restaurants.
Wow, that's wild. That sounds like it doesn't even make sense. But anyway, does anything
no,
make sense
make
in our
sense.
Government?
But it's my one moment to vent and be political and put an appeal out there to anybody in Virginia that's listening to write your congressman and get this stupidity changed.
And what a great segue to the next song as we say goodbye to you, Brian. I'm going to play the song Boat Porter, which is Speak Your Mind, but not while you're drinking. So everybody, check out, contact your Virginia legislature so that Brian can keep doing his job. And, Brian, thank you for coming on this morning with your informative Wine Czar info.
Brian,
and have a good weekend.
Later.
All right. Take care, Lori. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Speak your mind, but not while you're drinking. Liable to say just what you're thinking. Keep the peace and just get along. You might be right, but it could go so wrong. Now, bite your tongue, but don't say nothing. Don't bear push that button. Liquor's talking, but you said it. Open your mouth and you're gonna regret it. Now me and my gal went out the other night. I started drinking, hell, I got tight. That's when she asked me what I thought about her mother. I opened my mouth and, oh brother, speak your mind, but not while you're drinking. Bible will say just what you're thinking. Keep the peace and just get along. You might be right, but it could go so wrong.
To give them more sizzle and consumer appeal.
What? I mean, I mean, I know you can already tell us the new name, some of the new names and stuff, but why are they doing this?
Well, because they're watching people read the different meats, and when they don't think they understand what they are, they put them down and walk away and buy no meat.
I mean, okay. Of course, you know what? A pork butt really isn't a pork butt. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Anyway, yeah, look that one up. But, I mean, we're all used to, I mean, so are they going to change the names of pork chops and round roast and all that stuff?
Well, if I can continue while you're picking
okay,
on me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you. Sorry.
No. It says, after 3 years of consumer research, they found that the labels on packages of fresh cuts of pork and beef are confusing to shoppers.
Yeah, because shoppers are stupid, I guess. Okay, go ahead.
If they know that pork butts aren't pork butts, no. No, I'm only kidding. Anyway, a stroll down the meat aisle had become baffling for shoppers looking for a steak. When they would see packages of butler steak or beef shoulder top blade steak, boneless, flat iron, they would walk away with an empty cart.
No, they're walking away because it's too expensive.
Or it doesn't look good.
I
have to buy all my meat. If I don't see marble, no matter what I'm buying, if I don't see a lot of marble, I'm not buying it. I'm very fussy.
Oh,
I want to spend good money. When it comes to eating, I do. I spend good money on good product.
Yeah, but I can imagine that whoever is doing this, the meat group, who's paying for all this crazy stuff for marketing purposes and changing the names, not to mention all the money that will have to be spent to change the labels, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They
mm-hmm.
probably spent tons of money for some marketing guru to come in and say, why people aren't buying beef? Oh, it's because, and pork, because it's the name. Yeah, right. It's because it costs like $9 a pound. That's why.
I agree. I do. I agree with that. But it says, so pork and beef industry officials say they hope the new names will show up in stores nationwide by this summer's grilling season.
Wait a minute. Can you imagine? Okay. Well, I know I'm looking here at your notes here. I'm doing what I should have done earlier. Can you imagine, though, if you're still, okay, I'm used to going and get boneless pork chops or bone-in pork chops. So do you think the consumer's confused now? Wait till they do this crazy mess.
Well, I know. Wait till you hear the next line. I was laughing at this one, but it says, if this does go into effect, the, quote, pork chop will be gone. Instead, grocery retailers could be stocking stacks of porterhouse chops and ribeye chops and New York chops. The pork butt, which actually comes from shoulder meat, that's why I was teasing you.
There you go.
I know. I was like playing a game. The pork butt, which actually comes from shoulder meat, will be called a Boston roast.
They are
now,
going
I don't know why
confuse
they do that.
So many people. I cannot.
A
I mean, it's
I
actually
know.
Boston
yes,
butt. What
Boston
we call it? Is. Unbelievable.
I know.
Okay, well, yeah, it does sound better when you say porterhouse chops, ribeye chops, New York chops. It does have a better ring to it. I buy pork steaks, but, okay.
They do. That does sound better. A porterhouse chop? Yes. But a Boston roast? I wouldn't know what that was. What is it? What's a Boston roast?
Oh, boy. That must be a roast that comes from Massachusetts there, baby.
That's what I'm thinking. Oh, does it come from Boston? Hey, I want a Jersey roast.
Yeah, Jersey roast.
Right. So that would sell. So
yeah.
Much for pork being known as the other white meat, which the pork industry used for years to lure consumers away from chicken. Not all names in the meat counter will change. Ground beef will still be ground beef.
Well, thank God. Maybe I thought they might want to call it mushed up mash or something.
The monster mash.
Mushed up beef mash.
Yeah.
Oh,
the new retail
okay.
names will also come with new labels, which will tell consumers. I like this part, though. The new labels will tell consumers what part of the animal's body the cut comes from, as well as suggested cooking instructions. And I think that's good. For someone who's not good at cooking, I'm not a big cook person. So.
Well, I have to admit, one thing. Boston, what do they call it? A Boston roast, I guess, does sound better than a pork butt. But I still think people are going to be confused because it's like, what's for dinner? Boston roast. You know, I guess if you say pork butt, it does kind of have a bad ring to it. So, okay, I'll give them that one. But still, people are going to be confused. Oh, well.
Also, domestic sales have been slow as the relatively cool spring has squashed consumer interest in breaking out the backyard grill, which is true. It's chilly here.
No, not true.
Well, you're just a grill master.
But the problem is it costs so much. That's what the whole issue is. People can't afford to go out and buy. I looked at steaks yesterday at the store. The ones that were on sale were more than what I used to pay for them when they were back in the day. Yeah, back in the day, we used to pay. But yeah, it's so expensive right now to buy beef and even pork chops. It's crazy unless you get it on sale. Though I did get some good deals on some pork chops, or what do they call them now? What do you say they call them, pork chops now? New York chops.
New York chops or something. Porterhouse chop.
I did get a good deal on New York chops yesterday, but that's another story. And I paid $1.69 for boneless breast.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So when is this supposed to happen? Sometime this summer, huh?
Yeah, they're hoping it before everybody starts breaking out the grills.
All right. What else you got? We still got about 10 minutes.
Oh, good. And then I have to sing real quick, too. I have to sing for you. Happy birthday.
Oh, you're not supposed to tell everybody it's my birthday?
Yeah. You're the one that's not telling everybody. I have to do it because you're not doing it.
Okay. Whatever.
At America's sports bars, chicken wings are as essential to March Madness as man-to-man defense and the three-point shot. But at this year's NCAA basketball tournament rolls ahead, the cruel economics of the chicken wings, you'll know all about this, they're squeezing restaurant chains and putting upward pressure on prices for customers.
Thank you. What did I just say? What did I
just
say?
Sounds like good news for wing joints, right? No clucking way.
Oh, Laurie, that's funny. No clucking way.
No.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if I was going to read that because I thought, I hope it comes out okay on my phone when I'm saying this because sometimes
you need to enunciate that when you say that. No clucking way.
Yeah. People know me, though. Chains like Buffalo Wild Wings sell by the unit, a six-piece plate with fries and a beer anyone. Well, you take one away, even if the rest are meatier, customers might not be happy. The average chicken carcass nowadays is almost 50% bigger than it was 30 years ago.
That's true.
I couldn't believe that.
Their feed conversion and the technology in feeding them has gotten to where chickens grow so fast now that they're so much bigger than they used to be. And the breast and everything, wings, legs, the whole bit is bigger. And matter of fact, that's a problem, just a little side note, in the processing. The chicken processing business, it's also making it very difficult to produce the chickens on the old lines, on the old packaging lines, because they were made for smaller chickens. Yep.
Wow.
Anyway.
Well, it says wholesale wing prices soared 76% on average in 2012 over 2011, hitting highs not seen in at least 20 years. See? Yep.
That's the problem. You know, Buffalo Wild Wings is a big deal. I mean, a lot of people go there. To me, it's kind of an expensive place to go, but I can see why, because wings are so expensive. I don't know why it has to be hot wings. It could be hot something else, I guess. But, yeah, it turned out to be – you actually cost more for the wings in some places than it does for the breast.
Wow. My sister took her took my nephew there, she said. It took what was the place? Wild Buffalo?
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah. Should they love it?
So give me another story. We got still about 5 or 6 minutes. And if he doesn't call in, we got a long time.
Uh-oh. I hope I have enough story here.
Well, we can play music, and you can sing and dance and for my birthday and all that kind of stuff. So
sure.
We may have lots of time.
Well, he's calling at 12:30. He's got some time. We'll give him 6 minutes.
Yes.
And then we'll do the... Okay. You'll like this one here. A proposal to sell wine in refillable growlers, much like brew pubs have been doing for years, continued its march through the legislature.
This is a funny story. I find it very interesting.
Yeah, I want to hear your take on it. But it says passage is likely. Within weeks, it's possible that Oregon wine lovers will be able to bring refillable containers to stores and restaurants and bring home up to 2 gallons of their favorite vintage.
I just want to know, is it Oregon or Oregon?
Oregon.
Go ahead.
Oregon? It's G-O-N. There's no G-E-N.
Go ahead. I'm just sitting here wandering.
Your mind is like all over the place.
So we're gonna. Okay. So you're gonna be able to take in refillable containers to the store and fill them back up with wine.
That's what they're saying. It says, I bet it will catch on like wildfire, said Wynn Peterson Nedry, winemaker. Supposedly, all wineries already can sell wine in refillable containers. The bill would allow the practice at grocery stores and restaurants and would apply to beer and cider as well. Peterson Nerdy said the practice is as common in France and Europe as buying a baguette of bread and carrying it home from the market. That's unbelievable.
So it's like you would have... So we have these sparklet bottles for water. So we're going to have sparklet wine now?
I think so. It says instead of filling the bottles, the winery fills an airtight keg with the wine, which is then tapped to the dispense into the refillable containers. A single keg saves 39 bottles. She said a bottle of her wine that retails at $26 sold for $18 when it's put in a growler.
Well, there you go. Now we're talking. Now I can see.
Oh,
you don't have to pay for the bottle. Now they're talking my kind of stuff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a lot cheaper to sell from the keg. Winery's keg sales to restaurants have been doubling every year. So...
I honestly didn't know this was being done. So it sounds like it's been something that's been happening before, and I just didn't know it. I know they do beer kegs, but I never knew there was a wine keg. I'm looking forward to the sparklet wine. We just go, bring your bottle, fill it up, and go. So that's cool.
I didn't even know. We should have asked Brian, but he probably knows about this. But then again, no, he's more into the little expensive thing.
Tell the Belgian chocolate story.
Oh, you want me to tell that one? Okay.
That's funny, I think.
Okay, here we go. Yeah, I thought it was cute. I should have figured you'd like that. Chocolate boy. Belgian chocolate makers believe their renowned pralines should have similar protection like French champagne or Italy's Parma ham.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I do. They want the term Belgian chocolate to be their exclusive preserve and also want to crack down on foreign rivals dressing up their products as, quote, Belgian style or Belgian recipe.
I think the waffle people should do the same thing.
The waffle people?
Belgian waffles?
Mm-hmm.
Never mind.
That one went over my head. I'm not a waffle person, though, so.
I'm not, and I'm waffling right now just trying to buy time. Okay, so continue.
Okay. Copycats, they say, eat into sales and undermine a stamp of quality built up over the centuries since Jean Neuhaus invented the hard-shelled, cream-filled chocolate, the praline, in 1912.
Hmm.
Yep. The Industry Federation will meet regional governments for next month to decide how Belgium might apply to the European Union to protect the Belgian chocolates or perhaps seek a trademark to safeguard their treats. I think that's good. What makes us sad, quote, is that very often the copies are not up to standards of the originals. Belgians say their years of experience has created a pool of chocolate-making talent
and success is a result of the skill of the master chefs devising new cream fillings rather than the machines.
So they want to basically classify the name Belgian chocolate so that no one else can use it.
Use it. Yeah, because like I guess people, you know, put on it, you know, Belgian, they use the word Belgian style. And
so does that mean the Swiss are going to do the same thing for cheese?
There you go. I guess so. Well, you're not supposed to call your champagne unless it's from Champagne.
Oh, yeah, right. So, I'll call it whatever I want.
It's from the place, so you can't legally, but they do.
Just like the previous story, I'll call it a pork butt even if they do change the name to a Boston roast. We have a couple of callers calling in.
Ooh.
In fact, we have, it looks like our guest is calling in on one, and we have a mystery caller on another, so I'm going to click on, I'm not sure who the mystery caller is. Let's see who this is. Good morning. This is Green Ideas. Well, actually, it's afternoon over there where you're calling. Who's calling?
It's not a mystery caller. It's your wine czar.
Oh, what are you calling back for? Your number changed on my system. What are you calling back for?
I wanted to confirm your story about refillable wine.
Tell us, old wine czar. What's the story on that?
Well, I think it's a great idea. And, you know, if you go into Europe and, you know, people will bring their what they call demijohns, these big, you know, big vessels or their own jugs or bottles or whatever, and they go right to the winery and fill up their bottles. So why can't we do it here?
I think it's a great idea.
Wow.
I didn't know you could do it. I think it's a great idea. It is a great idea.
Plus now we have, you know, I have a client that we implemented. I don't carry them myself with my company, but another colleague's company that I'm working with on this client, we implemented keg wines, and they are the hottest thing right now.
Well, I like the idea of popping a keg of wine. So I think it's perfect. So I'm all for it. It'll save bottles and save money. And of course, because I'm such the environmentalist, it will save the environment. Less bottles to worry about.
Exactly. And now I've said my piece, and you can go back.
All right, well, you can go
now.
You can go back to sleep. I'm asleep. I'm going to take a break. We've got our next guest. Thank you, Wine Czar. We got our next guest coming on. He's Michael Marks. He's known as your produce man. I'm going to take a brief break and ring on Michael. Laurie, are you hanging on here with us, or are you going to be leaving?
Sure.
All right, well,
hang tight.
I'm actually going to play the music from our last week's guest. I really like this song. It's called One of One. It was Halo Music. And by the way, if you missed the show last week, you should go back and listen to that. It was Was that last week? Yeah, that was last week. He was very talented, and I love his music, and it's a little techno-style music. We're going to take a break, and we're bringing on our next guest, Michael Marks, your produce man. Be right back and right after the song.
What you bring, you are so within you, whispering words of truth. You have to drown out all the noise to hear what it's saying to you. You are so, oh, 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 beautiful. You are one of a kind, perfect every way.
California grows over half of everything we eat in the United States. So, and we're coming into the peak of the season. Springtime, I love springtime because we start getting all the things above ground. Wintertime, we've had all the things below ground, turnips and rutabagas and parsnips and potatoes and onions. But now we're getting into strawberries and asparagus and artichokes, those tender things of spring.
Well, you are definitely the produce man. So how long have you been in the produce business?
I've been in produce for over 30 years, so that's been a few decades. A lot has happened in those 30 years in the produce department, that's for sure.
Yeah, obviously. I see now all the exotic fruits and vegetables that everybody's out there pushing, and of course, the other thing, which is organics. And I wanted to have you on today just to kind of tell us a little bit about some of the trends in the produce business and some of the things that are hot, some of the things that are not, and just kind of fill in everybody since you're in the heart of the produce world. You said half half of the produce for America comes out of California?
Yeah, half of all the produce we eat here in the United States is grown right here in California.
That's amazing. So what's
and
hot?
So many of those crops, we grow virtually all that you eat. For example, strawberries. Of all the strawberries grown in the United States, we grow probably 80%. Of all the nectarines grown in the United States, we grow probably 85%. So there's so many crops that we just command the market because California is like the perfect place to grow things.
So what's hot and what's not in the produce business?
Well, right now, certainly, everything in the spring is very hot. Strawberries, spring strawberries, in my humble opinion, tend to be some of the sweetest strawberries of the entire year. I know we have strawberries year-round in the markets and farmers' markets and in the stores, but in my opinion, these spring strawberries being grown, they're just now starting in Watsonville, California, but they've been in Oxnard and Southern California. But some of these spring berries, they melt in your mouth like cotton candy. They're so good and so sweet.
Yeah, they're giant, too. I noticed I was at Fresh and Easy yesterday, and the strawberries were almost the size of a baseball. They were between the size of a golf ball and a baseball. They're growing them big up there now.
So you have noticed as well that strawberries are getting bigger, huh?
Yes. What's
there,
that
there's
all about?
Actually a reason why they are bigger. When I first started in the produce industry a little over 30 years ago, if you had a regular one-pound basket of strawberries, you'd have about 25 to 30 berries in that basket. Today there are about 10 to 12 berries per basket. And I didn't know the reason until about 10 years ago. There's a retirement of one of the UC professors who did most of the research on strawberries. In fact, he's known as Mr. Strawberry around the world. If you want to know how to grow strawberries, you would call Mr. Strawberry, Dr. Victor Voth. And if you wanted to grow strawberries in Chile or Italy or Australia or wherever in the world, you call Dr. Victor Voth down at the Irvine Research Station in California, and he would tell you how to grow them and how to become a millionaire growing them. At his retirement, about 8 years ago, I learned why we have large strawberries. He worked at the research facility there in Irvine, just off of I-5, just south of Los Angeles. You're driving down I-5, you look off to the left, and you see those beautiful strawberry fields and a little white building. That's where Dr. Victor Voth did his work. And he would look out, and he would see the workers working in the field. And at his retirement dinner, he went up to the microphone after the growers had given him a wonderful award and thanking him for 40 years of his service. He went up to the microphone and said, "Thank you very much. That's all I've got to say." You know, and it was very strange. He said 8 words. You know, he worked with these guys for 40 years, and he said 8 words. He turned around. He started to walk away, and there's this kind of like this halted applause. Nobody knew what to do. So he walks back up to the microphone. He leans over the podium to the microphone, and he says, "When I started working with you 40 years ago, you were paying the workers in the field the same amount of money that you're paying them today. That's all I've got to say."
Wow.
And he turned around and he started to walk away. And now there's dead silence in this room of strawberry growers. He gets about 5 steps away. He wheels back around. He walks back up to the podium, leans over the podium to the microphone, and he says, "You want to know why I created large strawberries? Because the workers are working half as much for the same amount of money. That's all I've got to say." So that's why we have large strawberries today, because Dr. Victor Voth, for 40 years, he would – have you ever picked strawberries?
Yes, I have. When I was a kid, I used to go out with my grandparents and my aunts and all. We'd all go pick strawberries. Yeah, it's a tough job.
It is back-breaking work. You are leaning over literally all day long. If it's an 8 to 10-hour day, you are literally leaning over all day long. And basically what he did, he doubled their wages overnight. Because instead of picking 25 to 30 berries per basket, they're now only picking 10 to 12. That's why we have large strawberries today.
So is it genetics, or are they feeding them different fertilizer? What's making them so big?
Well, you know, Dr. Victor Voth, he did not do, any GMO stuff. He did regular hard work of breeding different breeds together. And that's just the hard work of doing that. And year after year, after thousands of crosses, literally every year, he would come up with bigger, redder, sweeter, juicier, melt-in-your-mouth strawberries. And like I said, virtually every great strawberry variety that we have today came from Dr. Voth.
Very, very interesting. So, yeah, I've noticed that it for sure. I mean, you go in there, yesterday they were $1.25 a pound at Fresh and Sleazy Easy, however you want to say it, then you don't get a whole lot for a pound anymore.
Well, you get a pound.
You get a pound, that's true. You don't get a whole. You don't get numerous strawberries, you get big, giant ones.
You get 10 to 12 berries per basket. By the way, how many seeds are on a strawberry?
How many seeds are on a strawberry? I have no clue.
I asked this of Dr. Victor Voth once. I was interviewing him for my show. And at the very end, I felt like Columbo. I kept saying, oh, just one more question. You know, just one more question. So at the very end of the conversation, I said, oh, by the way, Dr. Voth, how many seeds are on a strawberry? Without hesitation, Dr. Voth said, there are around 200 seeds on every strawberry.
Wow.
So there is a certain number of seeds on our strawberries today.
I didn't know that either. So... You seem like you know a lot about all kinds of things, strawberries and all that. Tell me, give us some more info, some background information on produce that people may not know.
Well, let's see. Let's move on to artichokes. I don't know where you are in the country. Artichokes.
I'm in San Diego, and Laurie's over in New Jersey. And I'll tell you right now, I do not like artichokes, but go ahead and talk about artichokes.
Laurie, I'm so sorry you're way in New Jersey. I feel so bad for you.
Oh,
because
I love
you don't get some
morning,
of the sweetest,
Randy.
Nuttiest artichokes of the season. And certainly April is artichoke season. The Italian growers in Castroville, California, they have a saying, every April, artichokes even grow on the fence posts. I mean, they're just like everywhere. You drive through Castroville, and you look out at these beautiful plants and these huge what are called the terminal buds. It's the long stem with this big, jumbo, gorgeous artichoke sitting up on top. And you're driving through these fields, and you're just seeing thousands and thousands of them. This is peak of the season for artichokes. I'm sorry you don't like artichokes. They're actually very good for you.
They are.
They're loaded with
love,
folate, which is good for your body.
Yeah.
I've not been a real fan of artichokes, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I know some people like them and they are good for you, but that doesn't mean I have to eat them.
Now, the first artichoke queen of Castroville, do you know who that was?
First artichoke queen? No, I have no clue.
And back in 1948, there was a jewelry store that opened in downtown Castroville, California, which is just south of San Francisco, about an hour. And so this jewelry store called down to Hollywood and had one of the young Hollywood starlets come up to the jewelry store for the grand opening so they could publicize the next leading lady of Hollywood is going to be at the grand opening of this jewelry store in downtown Castroville here in Central California. And all the Italian artichoke growers got very excited about this. You know, this beautiful star is in town. And they said, well, let's have a parade. So all these Italian artichoke growers in Castroville, they gathered some of their flatbed trucks, and they went and they crowned Norma Jean, the very first artichoke queen of Castroville, Marilyn Monroe, before she became a star. So they got her in a flatbed truck, and they were very excited, and they paraded down Castroville Street, and there she was, the very first artichoke queen of Castroville. Will that get you to like artichokes?
Oh, yeah, you're kind of swaying me now.
Ah, see, there we go. Sex sells everything, right?
It always does. So what other things are going on? Is there like some exotic produce that they're growing there in California that's kind of new that people are getting into?
Well, new things here in California, I am very excited about several new things. For example, mandarins, tangerines. When I first got into the produce industry over 30 years ago, there's basically one tangerine, and that was the Fairchild tangerine. And it was the most god-awful tangerine you could possibly have. I mean, you could barely. It took an engineering degree to peel the thing, and it had like 23 seeds in it. I mean, what's the purpose of eating this thing, right?
Right.
So growers in California, they have been doing really well at coming up with some newer varieties of tangerines or mandarins, and they've been planting more of these fantastic varieties. In fact, one of the last varieties of the season is called a gold nugget. This tangerine or mandarin is so sweet and so good, the growers literally gave it a gold, the name gold nugget, because they knew this would become the next gold rush for California. And it's called a gold nugget. If you see it in stores, you need to buy it. It's the last of the season. This thing is so tender. You bite into the segments of this mandarin, and it just literally melts. It just dissolves in your mouth. It's so tender and so sweet. It does not have any of that bitter naringen that so many other citrus will have that gives it that, you know, that bitter bite. This tangerine is, in my opinion, one of the most perfect mandarins you could possibly find. So it's called a gold nugget. It's only been out for a couple of years. So if you find it, you need to get it and try it. This coming summer, I am very excited. Put on your calendar late August, early September. I want you to look for this. It is a brand new grape. And this grape, I am very excited about. You know, there haven't been too many new grapes come into the market. You know, the Thompson Seedless has been the mainstay since the late 1800s. Then in the 1970s, we got this beautiful red grape called the Red Flame Seedless Grape. Then we started getting into the black seedless grapes. But now there is a new grape coming. It kind of looks like a Thompson Seedless Grape, only a little bit larger. And the berry color is a little bit more yellow. The name of this grape, are you ready for this? The name of the grape is called Cotton Candy.
Cotton Candy?
I'm not kidding you. Yes, it is heaven. It tastes exactly like cotton candy. Close your eyes and bite into this. That just, you know, put the whole grape in your mouth, and you're going to think you're at the circus eating cotton candy.
On the boardwalk of the Jersey Shore.
Yes. On the boardwalk of the Jersey Shore, you're going to think you're eating cotton candy, and it is a healthy grape. I am so excited about this. Jim Beagle is the grower in just south of Fresno, California, in the San Joaquin Valley. He's been working with this grape for the past 8 years. Now, it usually takes about 20 years for a new grape variety to come into the market. That's about how long it takes to breed them and to test them and to figure out how they grow. You know, the farming cultural practices, it normally takes at least 20 years. I was so excited about this cotton candy. As soon as I tasted it, I called Jim Beagle, the grower in California here, and I said, Jim, you got to get this thing to market now. You can sell this at literally every football stadium, baseball stadium, you know, every sports arena. You can sell cotton candy grapes, you know, and you're going to have a market. You're going to get a whole generation hooked on grapes because it's cotton candy grapes. And so this thing, it's going to be fantastic. This is going to be the first year it's going to be commercially out. Last year, it was out in a very limited basis, and the stores that had it sold out in 2 hours.
Wow. Now, where is it going to be? You said it's in August. Where is it going to be available? I assume not nationwide, but is it going to be just in California or elsewhere?
No, he's going to have it in selected markets around the country.
Okay.
He should have about 100,000 cases this year to spread around. Obviously, as each year comes in production, there are going to be more acreage and more acreage. So within the next 5 years, you're going to see it virtually in every store. But this first year, when it first commercially comes out, you're going to find it in some of your select markets. I would already, if I were you, I would go talk to my produce manager and say, look, talk to your buyer at your store and find out where Jim Beagle is, and you call him and say, I want some of those cotton candy grapes.
Yeah.
And you said Jim Beagle, he's in the San Joaquin Valley?
Yeah, Jim has been working with grapes for, well, virtually all of his life, and he has been on the forefront of developing new varieties of grapes. This cotton candy, he originally saw this, you'll never believe where he first saw the first grape. It came out of a research facility at the University of Arkansas.
Huh.
And he was back there, and, you know, he was traveling, you know, trying to find new breeds of grapes. And something caught his eye with this variety at the University of Arkansas. So he brought this variety back, and he started working with it. And out in the fields, he would say that this grape smelled like caramel. So he was very excited about it when he smelled it in the fields. But when you pick the grape and when you, you know, eat the grape, it then tastes like cotton candy. But out in the fields, if you're walking through the vineyards, it smells like caramel out there.
Wow.
Wow. I'm going to definitely take it. You said it's going to be late August. It'll be brought to market.
Oh, yeah. Put it on your calendar right now, late August, early September. You're going to fall in love with this thing.
Well, Michael, you are definitely the produce man. You have been very interesting in giving us information that I never knew regarding produce. As a matter of fact, you're welcome to come on any time to talk about produce because it's very intriguing. And obviously, you have gotten into it and know a lot about it after 30 years of experience. And if people want to find you, they can find you on your website, which is called yourproduceman.com, and they can also find you on Facebook under Michael Marks. And Michael, it's very interesting information, and come back anytime.
Oh, sure.
Yeah,
if I be back, I'd be happy to come back. That'd be great. You know, I started talking about strawberries because you guys got me interested in that. You're talking about chocolate and Belgian waffles, you know. What better thing goes with chocolate than strawberries?
We'll put grapes on those. We'll put grapes on the pancakes and waffles.
Well, Michael,
you're
always welcome to come back and keep us posted on what's going on new in the produce world.
Oh, you bet. One last very quick thing. Oh, my goodness. When you get your cotton candy grapes,
yeah.
I want you to take one of those clusters and I want you to throw it in the freezer for 30 minutes.
Okay.
For 30 minutes. Now you pull it out, you have a cotton candy slush in your mouth. Oh, man.
Unbelievable. I'm going to find them and see if we can actually eat some cotton candy grapes while on air and let everybody know if they really do taste like cotton candy.
Yep, healthy cotton candy for you.
All right, sir. Well, thank you very much, and have a nice weekend, and thanks for all the information.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, take care. Everybody check out Michael's website. Very interesting info.
Oh, I can see that. And he's so, very enthusiastic, and when he talks, he's great. He was really good.
Very, very nice. Yourproduceman.com. Mm-hmm. And, Laurie, we're almost out of time, so I guess I'm going to let you sing because you got only a few minutes.
Okay. You ready?
I'm ready. I'm born ready.
Me. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, wow. You know, you were just talking about Marilyn Monroe and Norma Jean. You said it just like her.
Oh, God. Yeah. Right.
Well, thank you very much, Laurie. Yes, it's my freaking birthday tomorrow. Thank you.
You're welcome. Your page will explode. Be prepared.
Yes, I know. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us again. Next week, come back. We've got a big show planned. We have Katarina joining us with her sexy desserts. We have Saber Ricci coming on, and she's going to be talking about star signs and some of her I don't know what you call it, but exactly, an astrological contest we're going to have next week, and I got to put this all together very soon here, but we're going to be giving away a free, what do you call that, star chart reading.
A reading,
by Saber Ricci, and then also we have Dawn Garcia joining us, and Dawn has a radio show in Los Angeles. It's called The Taste of Dawn. She'll be joining us, and then we have Jimmy Charles. He's a country music singer, excellent singer. We've had him on the show before. He's coming back with some of his new stuff. So we got a bang-up show next week. And thank you again, everyone, for listening. I'm going to close out the show with, I think a little ZZ Top. I feel like ZZ Top.
Oh.
Everyone, everybody come back and check us out again next week. Everyone have a great weekend. And I'm going to go eat some birthday cake. Everyone, take care, and this is ZZ Top with their, let's go with Tube Snake Boogie. Everybody have a nice one. Take care.
Okay.
Take care.